In the Acts of the Apostles today, we heard about how Paul and Barnabas went about and appointed elders, presbyters in the various towns. That's where we get the word priest from. And another word they use is episkopos, which means overseer, which we get the word episcopal from, English word being bishop. And so what has been done then has now been going on for almost 2,000 years and will continue until the end of time. God will continue to appoint leaders for our church. And we have most recently had Pope Francis appoint Bishop Doug Desitel as our bishop, and now he's been installed over a week now, literally placed in his stall, in his chair, that is, at the cathedral. Cathedra means chair. And so he is now fully the leader of our church. And the night before his installation, he gathered the priests together at Immaculata on the Burbridge Highway, the old seminary chapel, and had his first homily with us. And during that, he started off by saying, "I want to thank all of you priests for welcoming me to the Diocese of Dallas." And he said, "Oh no, I mean Lafayette." He's been in Dallas for 40 years, so it's going to take him a while to get it out of his head that he is now in Lafayette, where he's originally from. And then at his installation mass for the beginning of his homily, he said that in Dallas he had asked a friend for some advice. What should he say for his first homily? And the friend said, "Well, Doug, don't focus on how unworthy you are, because within 2 weeks they will realize it very quickly." So he has a good sense of humor, and it's a great joy to have him. And he'll be busy over the next few weeks, starting in one certain Saturday in May. He's going to ordain half of the permanent diaconate class, I think about 12 guys. And then the next Saturday, the transitional deacons, the guys who will be ordained priests next year. Then the second, after that, the next Saturday, the second half of the permanent diaconate class, one of whom includes Ben Swallow. He might be in the first group. But from Queen Parish, he's going to be ordained a permanent deacon. And then after that, the next Saturday will be the three priests for the Diocese of Lafayette. So he's going to get a very good workout in the church. And Jesus told those early apostles that they must have love for one another. Love as he showed his love, right? A divine love, a sacrificial love that Jesus showed us from the cross, right? A very manly love that dies for one's beloved. And there's a story that kind of connects with this. It's about a man who had gone to a church, and he pulled into the parking lot and got into a parking space. And as he was getting out, a man drove up right behind him and said, "Hey, I always park in that place. You took my place." And so the man got back in his car and moved to another parking spot. Didn't say anything. He went into the building for the classes, Sunday school, and sat down in a chair. And a young lady came up to him and said, "Hey, I always sit in that chair. You took my place." And so he didn't say anything, but he got up and moved, somewhat distraught. And then he went into the church and he sat down in a pew, and an elderly person came up and said, "Hey, that's my pew. I always sit there. You took my place." Didn't say anything, moved to another pew. And as the people prayed for God to be in their midst, all of a sudden he started to change. Holes appeared in his hands and in his feet, and a crown of thorns appeared over his head, and a tear started to come down his cheek. And one of the men in the congregation said, "Hey, what happened to you?" And he said, "I took your place. I took your place." That is the kind of sacrificial divine love that Jesus is calling all of us to have, a love that suffers and is willing to suffer for one's beloved. And we heard very beautifully in the reading today from the book of Revelation how the church is that bride of Christ, right? And the Pope has just written his exhortation on married love, the joy of love, Amoris Laetitia, He pinned it on the feast day of St. Joseph, husband of Mary, so very appropriately, and his third anniversary of his inaugural Mass. And just one quote from it that's very beautiful at the beginning of chapter 1. And he says, "The Bible is full of families, births, love stories, and family crises. This is true from its very first page, with the appearance of Adam and Eve's family, with all of its burden of violence, but also its enduring strength, to its very last page, where we behold the wedding feast of the bride and the Lamb," Book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22, the final chapter. So from the very beginning of the Bible to the last page, marriage is there, because it is a perfect summary of God's love for us and how we're supposed to love Him back. It's a marriage relationship, and He's the groom. The church is the bride of Christ. You'll hear it referred to in the her feminine form in the various prayers at the altar, right? And so right in the middle of the Bible also, we have the very short book of the Song of Songs attributed to King Solomon. And it's a human love poem. But it's right there because it's an analogy. It's a comparison of God's love for us and how we're supposed to love Him back. And it's in the middle of the Bible because we can say it's the central message of the Bible. And so what a gift that it is. Throughout the rest of his exhortation, the Pope looks at the various situations that we find ourselves in today. He has a beautiful meditation on 1 Corinthians 13, love is kind and patient and all those good things. Very poetic and tender description of human love. After that, talks about children and procreation, the blessing of children. And then he goes into some of the pastoral situations today, ministry to the abandoned, the separated, the divorced, those with same-sex attraction, and on, all of the different things that we do find in the world today. He talks about children, their education and formation in faith and in human love as well. And finally, chapter 9, the spirituality of marriage, which is very beneficial. I encourage all of you married people to read it online. And he talks about the thousands of little ways that you serve each other. Just pouring a cup of coffee. Doing these little things, the thousands of things that you do each day for your beloved as an act of love and sacrifice is leading you closer to God. So he says, married life can be a pathway to mystical union with God. Imagine that. Married life, a pathway to mystical union with God. Great, incredible gift. In the book of Revelation, as the angel is showing John the Apostle the wedding feast of the Lamb in heaven, he says, "Blessed are those called to the wedding feast of the Lamb." And that's almost the exact words that I will use in a few moments before Holy Communion, when I will say, "Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." Because that's what is happening right here. The wedding feast of the Lamb is coming down to earth. We're going up into it right here at this altar. And Jesus, our groom, is loving us completely, 100% with His body, His blood, His soul, and divinity. He's pouring Himself out into us. And we are pouring ourselves out back into Him in love. That is what we are about. Who wouldn't want that, right? But most people just don't know. And so we have to let them know. We have to let them see that love in our lives. As Jesus said, they'll know we are Christians by our love, right? They'll know that you're my disciples by your love. So let us respond to that challenge of Jesus to love like men and women in love with Jesus, our Lord.